Have you ever believed something and found out later that it wasn't true? How did you feel about that? You know, there are some smart people who can believe some dumb things. IBM had accumulated some of the greatest minds in technology in the United States, and yet IBM nearly went bankrupt because they refused to believe that the personal computer was the wave of the future and continued to believe that the mainframe was the way that they would make their living. We know that when Galileo talked after doing some investigations, and he talked to the political and religious people of the day, and he said, you know, I think you're wrong. I don't think that the sun revolves around the earth. I think that the earth revolves around the sun. They nearly killed the guy. And these were important people. These were not people who had limited intelligence. These were individuals who had great knowledge. We have just read in the last couple of weeks about Bernie Madoff and his scam. And when you look through the list of those individuals that bought into that scam, you will find some great political minds. You'll find some great mathematical minds. You'll find some people who had great investing understanding and experience, and yet they believed something that simply was not true. They were wrong. We as Christians aren't immune. I have heard some really goofy statements made by wonderful, Christian, caring, godly people. And when we make those statements, they sound good at first, but when we put them up and examine them according to the depth of the Scriptures, we find that they aren't necessarily true. Over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be talking about some very controversial issues and subjects. Things that we may have been taught earlier in our life that were true, and now we have to examine them in light of the fullness of Scripture to see if they really are true. And I know that there will be a lot of comment about this, both positive and negative. And so I would ask for you to send your comments to Sean@BaysideChurch.net. And he will be glad to answer them for you. You've heard of truth in advertising. Truth in advertising is one of those things that says, we can't tell you and promise you something that is not true. We can't tell you that if you eat a Cinnabon, even though it might be wonderfully healthy, there will be no calories in it. That would be improper for us to do. And it's the same spiritually. There are times when in our eagerness to bring people into the kingdom, in our eagerness to show them the way of life, the way of truth, in our time so that we want to do what's right, we make some promises that the Scriptures never make. We say some things that the Scriptures don't say because we have such a passion to bring people in. Now, these are not idle statements in these next 4 weeks. There are at least one Scripture that seems to support this truth, and they sound good, and we wish they were true. And in our wishing that they are true, sometimes we exaggerate the promises of God to a point that He does not do. But the consequences of believing something that God doesn't say is true can be devastating. And it can even shake our faith. Over the last few decades in our nation, we've kind of grown accustomed to hearing that faith is evidenced by tangible success. We've had positive motivational speakers, and we've had TV evangelists who seem to say what we call sometimes the health and wealth. All you need is faith. If you had faith, anything is possible. If you had faith, you would be wealthy. If you had faith, you would be healed. If you had faith, you would have tangible success and drive a Cadillac. And anytime you have a failure or an illness or a part of a problem in your life, it's simply because you have a defective faith. Now, is that what the Bible says? As we begin to investigate this statement today, that faith can fix anything, we want to begin by saying this: faith is vitally important in our life. In fact, faith is probably the key attribute of the Christian life. We know that it is faith that brings us into a relationship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "And now there abide these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And so we know that this is one of the three attributes that form the tripod of the basis of our relationship with God: faith, hope, and love. We know that faith is so important that Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And therefore, it says that we have to believe and walk in faith in order to be pleasing unto God. So we know that faith is extremely important. It's one of those things that grounds us in our relationship with God. Now, having said that, and I want you to understand and know that faith is crucial to your life, are there some people who say things about faith that simply aren't true? Does faith fix anything? And if you simply had enough faith, it would happen. I want to take you to a passage of Scripture today in Hebrews chapter 11. And I can almost guarantee you that we have several preachers in our congregation. I can almost guarantee you that they've never preached from this passage before. In fact, I would almost guarantee you've never heard a message on this passage before, because everybody stops at verse 31. We know that Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the Hall of Fame of faith. It begins with a definition of faith. It talks about Abel. It talks about Enoch. It talks about Noah and Abraham. And it talks about Moses and Joseph and all of these people who had such tremendous faith that just absolutely wonderful things happened to them. And you said, see, I told you, faith can fix anything. And then we come to the last section. If you have your Bible, you got your Bibles? Let's see your Bibles. All right, I'm checking around to see who's... Okay, got your iPod, Doug? Thank you. That's okay. Chapter 11, beginning at verse 32. And what more shall I say? After he's gone through this hall of fame of faith, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, great men of faith, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Praise the Lord. Let's go out of here proclaiming faith. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Doesn't make a great TV message, does it? But listen to these next two verses. They were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. There is a danger in a flawed faith. Faith doesn't always mean we get what we want. If we believe that faith is simply a Santa Claus deal, where if we simply have enough faith, we get anything we want, we are turning God into a candy store. There is a flawed belief in faith. I had this come true to me in a very unique way back when our oldest son, Justin, entered first grade, because we had tried to teach our kids positive thinking and about faith and God, and you can do anything through him who gives you strength, and those kind of verses. And one day, Justin came home from school, And he sat down with me and he said, "Dad, I got something to talk to you about." "Oh, okay, what?" "That Bible stuff doesn't work." I said, "Oh, really?" Yeah. I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, we had a contest at school, and I prayed. You said if I had faith, I could do anything, so I just prayed that I would win. I didn't win." Now, see, that's a flawed faith, and it's kind of funny when you're in first grade, but it's not so funny when you're 25, and you still believe that. Because believing spiritual myths can be dangerous to the real faith development that you have. Some of you have heard people say this, maybe to you, and it hurts deep. If you only had enough faith, you would get a job. If you only had enough faith, you'd be healed. You wouldn't have died. If you only had enough faith, your marriage would work. If you only had enough faith, you'll have all the money you need in the world. A few years ago, I had a man come to me in distress, and we were praying about a situation, and he said, "My son, once he became an adult, has given up the faith. He just doesn't believe it anymore." And we talked about it, and he said, "It can all be stemmed back to a situation that happened in middle school. He was being picked on by bullies. And so he prayed to God and said, 'If I only have enough faith, God will answer this prayer, and the bullies will not pick on me anymore.' But they still picked on him. And therefore," he said, "God isn't true. Faith doesn't work. It's a flawed faith." For us to understand faith, you've got to look at it from its dimensions and not look at it from a surface point of view. There are three primary words that are used in the New Testament for faith. I want to take you through them. The first is faith itself. The definition of faith comes from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, where it says this: "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see." So in other words, faith is positive thinking. Faith is about feeling. It's about, if you can only be positive enough, it's going to happen for you. It's to keep looking at it even though you don't see it right now. And that's one dimension of faith, but it's not the only dimension. Now, if we go to John chapter 3 and verse 16, there's another word that is used for faith. It's called belief. And belief is primarily about the facts. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so we say, no, faith is about the facts. It's about knowing the truth. It's about what we can prove. It is about, yes, I believe that God died for me. Yes, I believe this story. I believe he died for my sin. If I can only get the facts right, I'll have great faith. But there's a third word about faith, and it's in John chapter 14 and verse 1, where it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, but believe in God," or "trust in God, and trust also in me." This trust is primarily about actions. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. In English, we change the words. In Greek, it is the exact same word in all three verses. And so what can we say about faith then? Faith is simply not just a feeling, although it is a feeling. It's not just getting our facts right, although it is getting our facts right. Faith is understanding that I believe in God no matter what the circumstances may say to me, and trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways, if you trust in him, he'll direct your paths. So faith also involves actions. It involves doing what God asks us to do. Faith is more than a feeling. It's more than believing the facts, although those are important. Faith is acting upon what we know to be true. Faith is a division of action. James wrestled with the same issue. And he says, here are people who proclaim that they know Christ, but their lives are no different. And he says, can this kind of faith save them? If I just simply say, I believe in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, I believe. Is that real faith when I don't see it in action? And he says, no, faith without works is dead. He says, even the demons believe facts. But as strong as faith is, and as important as it is, it can't solve all of our problems. But What good is faith if it doesn't fix all my problems? Well, let's go back to the scriptures. Hebrews 11:6. Why should we have faith if it can't fix all of our problems? Because it pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When we're a Christian, we don't say, let's see how much I can get away with and still be a Christian. We ask, if I'm going to believe in God, if I'm going to have faith in Him, I have to say, Lord, what can I do that is pleasing in Your sight? And if it's not pleasing to You, I don't want to do it because that would be acting out of non-faith, or that would be acting against faith. If your boss wants you to do something and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, you would say, that's not a good employee. If God is really God and what He says is really true and He says to us, I want you to please me, shouldn't it be the desire of our heart to please Him? We sang about that earlier today. There's a second reason that faith is important. It allows God to work in our lives, even though they are imperfect. Here's an interesting story. I'm going to ask you to turn with me. We're going to read this one. In Acts chapter 12, turn with me to Acts 12. I want to read verses 12 through 16, but let me give you the story. Peter's in jail. Peter has been told he's going to be executed the next morning. So you would think that Peter would be up all night praying, right? No, Peter's sound asleep. He said, don't worry about it. The angel comes, pokes him in the ribs. He says, what's he doing? Get up, Peter. We're going away. It says Peter got up in a daze, and he groggily said, I must be dreaming or something. What's going on here? And so Peter stumbles out of the jail, and he goes to the house of Mary. Now let's pick the story up at verse 12. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. You're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. Now let me ask you a question. What was the purpose of the house meeting at Mary's house that night? It was to pray for Peter to be released from prison. They were all sitting around praying, Lord, please, we don't want Peter to die. Please, can you release him from prison? Please. Peter shows up and they go, hey, what are you doing here? The point of this story is it doesn't take mountain-moving faith to move God. It says it just takes a grain of faith. The faith was in the prayer. They had imperfect faith. Neither you nor I nor anyone else in this sanctuary has perfect faith. That's why we need God. That's why we have to keep looking at His Word. That's why we have to keep depending upon Him. If we had perfect faith, we wouldn't need Him. You don't need perfect faith. But faith allows God to work in your life. A little faith goes a long way. Do you remember the story of the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? As they were getting ready to be thrown into the furnace, they said, well, Lord, we believe you can deliver us from this. That's great faith. But if you don't, okay. So what they're saying is faith is not demanding and telling God what to do. Faith is just simply saying, God, I trust you and believe in you so much that however way you choose to bring this thing to a conclusion, I'm going to believe in you and believe that was your will. That's faith. We know that Paul said, you know, I don't like this thorn in my side. I want to get rid of it. Do you think he had any faith? Do you think Paul had faith? Of course. It didn't happen. Faith didn't fix his thorn, but it fixed his heart. Because then he said, but whatever happens, Lord, I'm going to praise you. Now, the third thing I want to say about this is that it fixes our biggest problem. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We all have a problem. It's called sin. The Bible tells us that we're all afflicted with the same disease, that we all are under condemnation because of our sin. And then it says this in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith. Remember the definition of faith that we talked about, those three words in English combined, which are one word in Hebrew, or excuse me, in Greek, which means that we have an understanding and a positive understanding of this, that we believe the facts of this, and we act on what we believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. How do we stand in front of a holy God who knows all about us, who knows our sin, who knows our actions, who knows our very thoughts? What do we say when we stand before a holy God? Sorry. No. We say, you know, I had faith that your word was true. I had faith that you told me that if I confess my sins, that you would forgive me. I had faith that your son Jesus died on the cross, and I live my life in accordance with that. Was it perfect faith? Absolutely not. Did I get everything I wanted? No, I didn't. But I acted in faith, and I believe you have given me eternal life. The Bible says in John 3 that when we have this salvific faith, that we are born again. Faith is the birth canal to the family of God. Faith ushers us in to the great family of God. Now let's go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You with me on this morning? I know you'd like for me to say faith fixes everything. All you got to do is have faith and you'll be healed and you'll be rich and you'll be wealthy and you'll have no problems and your kids will be great. But I know what the Bible says. Now, faith has a lot of positives. The fourth thing is this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. He's talking to Christians. Do not conform, what? Any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Live out your faith. Show forth your faith. Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, it says in 1 Corinthians, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to know his will. You can't know his will without faith. Faith is more than intellectual assent. It's more than having a fact. It's more than a feeling. Faith is acting on and trusting God no matter what happens in life. It is a roadmap that leads us in the right direction. And when we get off track, it gently moves us back to the right road. It lights our pathway according to Psalms. Without faith, it's impossible to know God's road. There are too many roadblocks in life. There's too many detours. There's too many signs that point us in the wrong direction. Faith redirects our thinking from the hurts of life to the promises of God. Faith can't fix everything. There will still be tragedies in your life. Some of you have prayed fervently and seen loved ones and friends die. Some of you have had great faith and had horrible experiences happen to you. Unexplained circumstances, difficult to deal with. But faith brings us through the roadblock of life. Now let me ask you a final question. Do you need to apologize to God? You see, there was times when I thought earlier in my life that something was true, only to find out it wasn't. There's times when I thought maybe someone said something or did something, and I found out later that they didn't. And you know what the proper thing to do when that happens? Is you go back to them and you say, John, I'm sorry that I felt this about you. I understand this was wrong and I apologize to you. Remember all those times you thought things should turn out one way and they turned out another, and you said, God, why did you do this to me? Do you need to apologize to God? Those issues where you couldn't figure out why they happened and so you blamed God. Those times when your own sinfulness, your own neglect, your own apathy caused great pain in your life, but yet you blamed God. The times you took the wrong road, walked down the wrong path, and blamed God. Don't you think it's time to apologize to God? Faith is more than a feeling. It's more than believing a fact. Faith is the willingness to trust God in all circumstances of life, regardless of the consequences or the outcome. It says some moved mountains, some were sawed in two. It said some conquered kingdoms, some lived in destitute conditions. Faith is not saying, God, if you do what I want you to do, I'll believe in you. Faith is saying, God, I believe, and therefore I will trust you because I believe you are God. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your word. And sometimes it kind of smacks us upside the head. And sometimes we are reminded that some things that we thought were true really aren't true at all. Father, we want to be people of faith. We want to be people who trust in your word, who are led by your word, who allows your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into truth. Father, we know that your word sometimes speaks to us in such ways that we decide we need to change directions. We need to go a different way. If there are those here this morning who have been blaming God for circumstances that are beyond their control, Father, we just pray that you would give them a sense of the love and mercy and grace of God. Would you undergird them with your truth and your compassion? May you allow them to know that they are loved and cared for and you desire the best for their lives. Father, help us not to have a flawed faith, but help us to have a real faith, a faith that digs down deep, a faith that will not be blown away when the trials and tests of life come against us. Father, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please?
Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed.
I had a good time over the last 7 or 8 days up at the National Convention. I know Ron Mary Lou and several others that I saw up there from Bayside had some wonderful experiences there. We'll share more a little bit about you later, but it was a great experience. Christians shouldn't judge, right? We'll come next week and find out about that statement. And now may the Lord bless you
and keep you. May he increase your faith, real faith, a faith that does not waver in the midst of opposition, a faith that draws its strength from the Word of God, a faith that trusts God by your emotions, by your thoughts, and by your actions. Amen.